To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is Glow in the Dark Radio, the science fiction podcast. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. You can find my stuff online at glowinthedarkradio.com or at mikeluoma.com. That's M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. It's also how you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. After there, .com/M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A, Mike Luoma. There's also a Glow in the Dark Radio Facebook page, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. Have a mailing list as well, although I have to admit I haven't sent one out in a little while here. Summer, you know. Kind of getting back into the swing of things, though, so I should be getting those out more often. You can sign up for the mailing list at that Facebook page or at glowinthedarkradio.com. Or pretty much anywhere you find me online. We've got Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest going on as the adventures of Alibi Jones continue on Glow in the Dark Radio. And Alibi's wondering if he's a patient or a prisoner at Ceres Central. He's been recuperating from an alien contagion. Some part of the ghost ship that they were investigating managed to penetrate his EVA suit and get in under his skin on his leg. But the way they're studying Alibi, he's been feeling like a lab rat. And Alibi's old friend Krish, Dr. Krishnavurti, tells Alibi they're looking to start operating on him, amputating his infected leg, but they don't seem to feel Alibi needs to okay the procedure. And he's not a big fan of that, so Krish is going to help Alibi escape from Ceres Central. We'll see if they're successful. Coming up in Chapter 27 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, it's on the way on Glow in the Dark Radio. As far as the news goes, not your imagination. There was no show last week. That's why I did two chapters on the episode just before it. I was at the Vermont Comic Con. That was last weekend at the Sheraton in Burlington, Vermont here. Saturday was a little slow. Sunday was better. Although I was on a panel at the tail end of the day, 4 to 5. About 4:30 or so, the fire alarm goes off. I was in the middle of speaking, talking about what I do and, you know, my books and everything. And all of a sudden, beep, 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 you know, the alarm goes off. We have to evacuate the hotel. Everybody's out in front of the place. I was thinking, well, okay, well, that's the end of that. You know, half hour left. It was ending at 5 on Sunday. But I got back to my table after they let us in about 15 minutes later. And one of the people that were in the audience for the panel came up and said, is this your stuff? And she actually bought the Vatican Assassin trilogy and a couple of comic books. So it was like, whoa, all of a sudden things turned around. And this was after the fire alarm. So I had no idea that anybody was going to actually buy something after that. And I did sell some copies of Red Hot number 3, the brand new issue I just released last week. That just came out last Wednesday. Introducing Red Hot number 3 is now out. Number 3 of 3. So it's the finish of the story. You can now read the entire story. First issue and character designs was by Resap Gwynn. Then Juan Carlos came on, Juan Carlos Quatordio, to finish issue 2 and do issue 3. So Juan Carlos on the art and myself on the words and letters. And issue 3 is now out. The graphic novel will be coming soon, too. You'll be able to order the graphic novel, all 3, under one cover. Working on getting that available with the folks at IndiePlanet.com, so you can order it as a print-on-demand graphic novel. If you want to find out more about introducing Red Hot number 3 or the other issues, just head over to glowinthedarkradio.com. And that is all for news. We've got Chapter 27 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hey guys, I'm Ray Belli, the host of Words for Granted, a brand new podcast that looks at how words change over time. Have you ever wondered where words come from or why they mean what they mean? Yeah? Well, me too. In fact, I think about these things all the time, and that's why I've created Words for Granted. It's kind of like an ongoing greatest hits compilation of the most fascinating word evolutions in the English language. Did you know that villain once meant farm worker, or that bead once meant prayer? The bottom line is, if you're a word nerd, let's be friends. You can find out more about the show at wordsforgranted.com and follow Words for Granted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I hope you tune in to the next show.
Now, here's Chapter 27 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
I have been working on this all week, Krish declared. Just couldn't say anything. A way to get you off series, Alibi. What does the military mind love more than anything? Is this a riddle? Alibi asked, joking. Blowing things up? Krish laughed. No, but that would be a close second, Krish admitted. Maybe third. What then? Repetition, Krish said. Especially military bureaucrats. Getting something done for the first time is nearly impossible, but getting it the second and third? It gets much easier, especially if it's top secret. People don't want to know what they don't need to know, you know?
I think I know, Alibi said.
Well, I've made it look like I've received a second request for another transpace nullifier from a certain covert ops team, Krish said. He winked. As I said, repetition. And I also made it look like I just so happened to have one here with me on series. No need to send to Rigel 4. Krish shook his head. He chuckled. Ooh, military bureaucracy. Even with the duplication, took me almost all week to process the paperwork. But it, you, will ship out tomorrow.
How? Alibi asked.
In what? I have a special project shipping container we'll use. Outside, it looks like there's probably a transpace nullifier inside. But it will be you inside instead, in a sealed capsule with its own air supply. It's not roomy, but it does have space enough so you can stand up and move around some.
I'm going to be a transpace nullifier? Alibi asked.
Sort of, Krish said. Here's how we'll get you in there.
Krish and Alibi worked out the details of the escape. Krish planned to meet up with Alibi and his jogging partner, Officer Cooper, in the shipping bay the next day to put it into motion.
Alibi! Krish called over, waving as Alibi and Cooper ran through the open cargo interchange space near the Ceres Central Spaceport. The old man ran over towards them. Hey, Krish!
Alibi stopped jogging as he and Krish met. Cooper pulled up alongside.
Oh, Krish said, short of breath. Alibi? Oh, I am not sure I should have run over.
You okay, Doctor? Cooper said, concerned.
I'm not sure, Krish said. Let me catch my breath.
Alibi and Cooper exchanged a worried glance.
I think I'll be... Oh! Krish rubbed his chest. How odd!
What is it? Cooper asked. Does it feel tight?
That's a way to describe it, I guess, Krish said, pained expression on his face.
Okay, we're getting you to the hospital, Cooper said. Come on, Alibi, let's...
No! Krish said. I can't! I have an important package going out for the project. I must get back to it.
Is it worth your life, Krish? Alibi asked, concerned. Come on. Cooper and I will bring you. Krish rubbed his chest again, and then his left shoulder. Cooper noticed.
That's it, Doc. We're going, Cooper said.
But, Krish protested, wait, I must make... Oh,
can I help? Is it the package you showed me last night, Krish? Alibi asked.
Yes, Krish said. Alibi, could you make sure it's okay? Just make sure they transport it on time for me. I'm very sorry to interrupt your jog.
I think I... If I do... Cooper, can you make sure he goes right to the hospital? Alibi asked. He gave Krish a look of concern. Not sure I trust him to put himself first.
Cooper looked at Alibi, assessing him. He looked over at Krish.
Uh-huh, Cooper said. And you're going to check on his package?
Where is it, Krish? Alibi asked.
The project holding area, Krish said,
by Bay 23.
You know where that is? Cooper asked Alibi.
Yeah, Alibi said. My aunt used to send project stuff through there all the time. Alibi let the thought hit him. Is this okay to do? He asked Cooper. The question surprised the officer.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an emergency and all, Cooper said.
I might be feeling a little better, actually, Krish said.
He grimaced for effect.
Hospital for you, Cooper said, disagreeing.
I'll deal with the shipment for you, Krish, Alibi said. Project holding area, right?
Yes, Krish said.
Thanks, Cooper, Alibi said. I owe you. Yeah, Cooper said. See you later.
The officer led the old doctor away. Alibi walked over to the project's holding area, where the package sat waiting, alone. The holding area was really just a part of the large open bay, marked off with lines on the floor to indicate it was their space. The container Krish had prepared was a plain-looking shipping crate, with the project's markings and colors. Alibi made his way around to the less visible side of the container, where the door was supposedly located.
Alibi opened up his jumpsuit and pulled out what looked like a wand.
It wasn't. Krish had made a hand-sized field nullifier that, supposedly, actually worked. Krish assured Alibi it would, that this was different than Argentium. Krish revealed he'd lied to Alibi when they'd rescued him from Yang's manor. The mods to his wand hadn't worked, but Krish didn't want to undermine Alibi's confidence, so he pretended they were functional. So he said,
I wondered back then what he wasn't telling me. I hope he's not lying this time.
Alibi turned on the field nullifier and put it to the test. If it was working, none of the various security devices could see him right now. He opened the door in the side of the shipping container and slipped through. Lights flickered on as the door closed and sealed behind him. Okay, Krish, Alibi said to himself. I'm in. Hope this works. Alibi could just barely stand up straight. No room to pace. He could take 2 steps in the long direction, tops, and could almost touch the narrow walls with his arms outstretched. A bedroll in the corner looked like a mattress if he needed one.
Hope this trip doesn't take that long.
He folded out the seat of a built-in chair and sat down. Alibi activated the capsule's security net. 4 floating view screens appeared in the air in front of him. 2 of the screens showed exterior views. The other 2 environmental controls, security settings, emergency engines, and power plant information. His timing was evidently on. Exterior views showed Alibi the cargo loaders had just appeared.
Leave it to Krish to keep things precisely timed. Not much room for error, though. They could have seen me.
The cargo loaders applied grav lifters to the container as they prepared to move it through the bays and into a transport ship's cargo hold. The container lurched as they began to budget. Alibi nearly fell out of his chair. He steadied himself and then watched the screens in an eerie silence as they maneuvered his shipping container through the transport zone. He only realized he'd been holding his breath after a safe port sentry glanced at the paperwork and waved them through the gate. After that came a quick push past the bays, on into the cargo hold of a waiting transport ship. Alibi couldn't tell what kind of ship he was on from inside his modified shipping container. Once his crate was locked down in place in the hold, the external lights went out. Alibi's exterior views all went black.
Nothing to see, really, anyway. Should soon be on my way to depot. Special delivery.
Light from his view screens coming back to life woke Alibi up. He dozed off in the chair as he waited. He flipped through exterior views, calling up the hidden camera feeds from all directions. Containers, he said to himself. Nothing but containers. His was surrounded, though it was good to see the light coming through. As he watched and waited, cargo handlers unloaded the crates around his, floating them out of the hold with grav lifters. He began to get a little uneasy when his was the last container left in the ship's hold. When the lights went back out, he went from uneasy to high alert.
Not good,
Alibi turned on the mini nullifier. He didn't have much else on him in his jogging jumpsuit. He did discover the capsule had an emergency package. Alibi grabbed a small flashlight and a surgical laser from the medical kit. He pocketed the nullifier and shifted the flashlight to his left hand so he could hold the laser in his right as some sort of weapon. Maybe. He dimmed the interior lights and unsealed the capsule door. Keeping the flashlight's beam dim, he left the container. When he stepped onto the deck, he could feel the thrumming pulse of the ship's engines.
"We've taken off again."
Alibi made a run across the cargo hold to the nearest hatch. There was no real security on the door, so he was through it and into the airlock in no time. The ship and the hold were both pressurized. The lock wasn't sealed. He opened the hatch on the other side of the airlock and cautiously poked his head through. It looked like the main corridor of a medium-sized cargo transport ship, an old UTZ model. Private ship, non-military, no frills. Non-skid framework decking in easily replaced squares. The look of the ship was bare bones, no smooth decorative interior walls to hide the conduits and other gear. The corridor was empty. Alibi stepped through the hatch and stood in place, listening for the sound of the engines.
"Louder to my left, so that's probably aft. Means fore and the bridge are probably to my right."
Alibi turned right and padded up the corridor. He unsealed a hatch at corridor's end and stepped into a small emergency airlock. An open hatch on the lock's other side led to the bridge. Alibi stepped through. The captain, he assumed it was the captain, sat in the pilot's seat with his back to Alibi. He was talking on the comm to someone Alibi couldn't see. "Just anywhere at random?" the captain asked. Alibi couldn't hear the response. "I don't usually get paid to lose cargo," the captain said. "Gonna have to cover the shipper's losses, you know, besides the damage I gotta do to my cargo bay door. You're sure this fugitive is on my ship, inside that shipping container?"
"Fugitive? Shit. Wish I knew who he was talking to."
"No kidding. Well, like I was saying, isn't often someone like you asks someone like me for a favor. And is willing to pay for it. I wish all my dealings with Safe Brass were this lucrative."
"Safe Brass?"
Alibi strained to hear the response. He couldn't. "Sorry, yeah, we'll do. We'll set it adrift in deep space. If the guy's in it, it's his own damn fault. Oh, look at that. Just saw the bank transfer go through. We'll take care of that right now, then. Out!"
"Gonna set me adrift, huh?"
Alibi was pissed. He looked down at his hand, with a little surgical laser in it.
"Great."
He took a small, quiet step forward.
"Hey!"
Alibi turned as someone yelled behind him. Alibi swung the laser up with his fist, punching at a man's head as he lunged towards Alibi. Alibi's fist connected with the man's right cheek, and the laser burned into the attacker's ear and skull. Alibi pulled his fist back and dropped the laser as it overheated. His fingers hurt from the impact and the burn.
"Ah!"
The man grabbed at the side of his head and dropped to the deck, squirming in pain.
"Huh!"
Alibi felt the air move behind him, heard the captain grunt as he brought something heavy down on the back of Alibi's skull, and everything went black. Alibi's head hurt, but he was alive. He moved and the lights flickered on.
Back inside the shipping container. They must have found the secret door.
He called up the view screens to look outside. Deep space. They'd set him adrift in the shipping container. Left him for dead.
Nice people.
But this shipping container belongs to the project. He called up the emergency engine controls and began powering up the power plant. It took him a minute to figure out how to bring up navigation and steering control. Neither was what you'd call refined, but the rudimentary directional abilities of the literal crate's engines might save his ass. Depending on how far out he'd been set adrift, he checked navigation to determine his position.
Glad those guys weren't trying too hard.
He was still in the depot system, just off in a distant orbit, far from its sun. He chuckled as he plotted his course. He fired the engines, a quick burst to conserve fuel, and began the trip back to depot. "Turns out I'm hard to kill," Alibi said to himself. Using the emergency controls, he looked for safe ships in the area. There were a couple of cruisers and a Stinger ship in orbit around depot itself. Alibi figured on floating up to one of the safe ships to see if they'd take the shipping container on board. Better to have the authorities grab it than some privateer hoping to profit off salvage.
"Hope we can still trust a safe crew to return property to the project."
Alibi used a short burst on the emergency engines to direct the shipping container at the safe Stinger ship, the largest target in orbit. "Come on," he cheered on the little engines. He stopped short of using all of his fuel. He wanted to be able to stop the container as he got in closer to the Stinger. "Come on!" He didn't have visual contact with the Stinger yet, but depot was growing larger.
"Better hit the Stinger ship. Not sure I could stop the crate if I miss. Would rather not burn up re-entering depot's atmosphere."
He checked the instruments. If they could be trusted, he was on target for the Stinger. He set the comm unit to pick up any proximate broadcast on a safe channel.
"Won't hurt to monitor any chatter in the neighborhood."
The first visual indication he had of the ship was a flare that dimmed his lenses as light from depot's star glared off the hull of the Stinger. He readied the engines for retro-firing as he neared the vessel. "And fire," Alibi said, talking to himself. He slid the control forward. The engines sputtered briefly and died. Damn. He'd managed to slow his advance some, but he was going to hit the side of the Stinger ship with some force, and no fuel left to maneuver if he missed it. Alibi looked around the small space. He grabbed the bedroll and headed for the back wall of the container. He spread the padding out behind his back and leaned against the wall. The container's gravity field would absorb some of the impact. He hoped he wouldn't hit too hard and get knocked around, or worse. The container could rupture, killing him.
Pleasant thoughts.
Alibi braced himself for impact, watching from his perch as the Stinger ship loomed large on the view screens.
"Target engaged," a voice said on the open comm. "Unidentified object on collision course. Prepare to fire."
"No!" Alibi shouted.
"Didn't think they'd want to blow me up."
That was Chapter 27 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Out of the intergalactic frying pan into the line of fire? Alibi's modified shipping container transport is about to crash into a Stinger ship, but only if they don't blow him up first. They're about to shoot him out of the way, so it's kind of a cliffhanger ending. We'll have to see what happens on our next episode. Chapter 28 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. Just a quick recap on the news. The new comic book is out. Introducing Red Hot number 3 of 3, finishing off that mini-series of 3 issues. Came out last Wednesday. A week ago Wednesday. That was August 24th. So that is out, and now the graphic novel is on the way. You're going to be able to order it as a print-on-demand book from IndiePlanet.com. I want to encourage you to join my mailing list to stay up to date on what's going on. You can do that at any of my sites. GlowInTheDarkRadio.com, MikeLuoma.com, or Facebook.com/GlowInTheDarkRadio. You can find me online at any of those places, and also at MikeLuoma.com, GlowInTheDarkRadio.com, Twitter.com/MikeLuoma, and Facebook.com/MikeLuoma, MikeLuoma. And that is all for this week. We've got Chapter 28 coming up next week. As ever, our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.